The one of the tefillahs that we start saying Rosh Hashanah all the way through the end of Yom Kippur is Zachreinu l'chaim melech chafetz v'chaim v'chasveinu b'sefer ha'chaim l'mancha elekim chaim. We say it each and every day in each and every Shemona Esrei. Remember us from life, O you King who loves life, who desires life. V'chasveinu b'sefer ha'chaim, inscribe us in the book of life. L'mancha, for your sake, Elikim Chaim. Sig is in. Okay.
Wow.
Writes the Ramchal, the great Rabbeinu Moshe Chaim Latzato, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim and many other great Kabbalistic works. He says as follows. Listen carefully. You have to listen very carefully because we're laying out, these are the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. This is it. This is life. A person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, this is in his Maimer HaChachma, according to his actions, whether he will be counted among the tzaddikim, among the righteous, or, God forbid, Birushoyim, among the wicked. This, he says, you're not listening, is called the Book of Life, or the Book of Dead. So, we're going to use a term in Yiddish called synonyms. The Book of Life and the Book of Death is a synonym with the Book of the Righteous, or the Books of the Wicked. Yeah. That's what Ramchal has introduced. That those two are the same. And that's what we ask for when we say to the Almighty, remember us for life. What we're saying is, inscribe us in the Book of the tzaddikim. Okay. Then we add about the matters of this world. We add v'chasveinu l'chaim tov, and we continue asking in many places during the holiday season. I love the holiday, the fall holiday season, as they call it in the Jewish chronicle. The v'chasveinu l'chaim tov, and write us in the life of, in the book of good life. That's what we're referring to when we ask for the accommodations, that the cow should be able to give its milk, the chickens should lay their eggs, and the fruits should come from the trees, and the tomatoes should give their, and so on. All those things, that's where we ask for the good life. So the first thing, says Ramchal, that we're asking for is, who am I? My mahus. What's my essence? I ask you, God, to make my essence the essence of tzaddikim. That's number one. Now we've established who I am, now we go to the bank account. Now we go to the health. Now we go to the children. Now we go to whatever, all the other trappings. Nice. Okay, so the first thing that we're judged for and the first thing that we focus on is being written in the book of life. Namely, it's that picture book with all the holy dudes. And that we should be written in that book. We should be one of the stars in the book of the tzaddikim. Which begs a fundamental question. And we're going to get into it. This really touches on the fundamentals of tefillah, period. Why in the world, asks Rabbi Friedlander, why do we ask from the Rabbi Nishlam that he should decree for us good decrees? Isn't it true that even if we wouldn't ask for anything, that we trust and believe that everything Hashem does is for the good? So why bother? If we trust that the Rabbi Nishlam is going to do everything for us, that's good. What are we wasting our time for with all these lists of things that we ask for? Okay. Says Rabbi Friedlander. Huh? Wait. This, he's going to build on this. It gets more complex. That the purpose of davening, the purpose of requests, is to recognize that the entirety of creation and all of our needs and our whole essence, it's not so much to ask, but it's to come to the recognition that he's really controlling it all. So the purpose of davening isn't so much the ask. It's the knowledge, it's the sobriety to know that our money and our health and everything is in his hands. And here's where he adds it. So in the merit, or the moment that we come, let me put it this way, commensurate with the recognition that Hashem is controlling it all, to that degree will the avenues through the pipelines open up and flow freely. So it's the old Polish joke. The guy who comes into the store and asks for a loaf of bread, and the guy says to him, "Are you Polish?" So he says, "Why would you say that?" And he storms out. He goes to Oxford and studies English, and comes back with a perfect Queen's English, and walks back into the store, marches in, and said, "Can I please have a loaf of bread?" The guy says, "You Polish?" So he falls apart and says, "I went to Oxford and studied English all these years, and I said that in such a perfect English. Why would you say that?" He said, "Sir, this is a hardware store." When we get lost in the lack of recognition of from whence it all comes, we ain't going to get our requests responded to. It's only when we come to recognize that it all, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that tefillah accomplished simultaneously, that we know, as Uncle Shia says, he met the guy who has been sober for, you know, decades. And he said to him, the guy was appealing to the higher power. So he said, "After all these years, why are you turning to the higher power?" He says, "Because there ain't nobody else who can help me." I mean, it's a constant. Akashia claims that these guys who come to the 12-step program have the greatest recognition of this fact, that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, moment by moment. So the more we recognize it, the more we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and can ask for his intervention, and that we can receive.
So then the asking, does that mean that it can affect the change?
Yes, that's what we're going to get to now.
No. Asking just because
no, correct. It is the only thing that can affect the change.
So it's not predestined.
Correct. The power of tefillah has the ability to change that. That's right. We'll get to that in the meat and potatoes of this. Now, this is especially so during the what we call these days of prayer.
The fall holidays.
The fall holiday season, where we want all the bounty to fall upon us. The more we make ourselves worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachas, so that he will decree upon us good decrees and gashmias, and make especially our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu successful in the coming year. Even if at the present moment we are not yet worthy of that blessing. So meaning walking in to the high holidays, when we pull out the record card, or whatever you call our resume, of how we did up until this point, it's not looking so good. But this koyach ha-tfila, this recognition of where it's all at, and the clarity of the purpose of our existence, has the ability that the Rebbeinu Shlom extends something that we call in Yiddishkeit credit. Credit. C-R-E-D-I-T. Came to a new, deeper recognition and understanding of where it's at, I'm going to extend credit. Now, this is the lens to the next question. Hashem, inscribe us in the book of Tzadikim. Really? What relationship do we possibly have to the book of Tzadikim? either we is or we isn't. But what does it mean? What is the purpose of a prayer to write us in the book of Tzaddikim? We either made it in or we didn't make it in. Either our actions reflected the life of a tzaddik, or our actions reflected the life of a rosh. Why are we asking to be written in a book? Rabbeinu Shalom, write me into the book of the all-star pitchers. Rabbeinu Shalom, I can't. What does it mean? Write me into the book of pitchers.
My mother used to say, always hang out with the ones you want to be like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
He makes it worse. He says that, you're going to say, you know what, Rabbeinu Shalom is going to go overlook what I've done in the past, and therefore he's going to write me into the book of Tzaddikim. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, if somebody who says that Hashem overlooks things, his life should be overlooked. So there ain't no such thing as Hashem ignoring anything. Either we got to do tshuva, or we got to atone for it, we got to pay for it. But we're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to overlook it. So what's this business about wanting to be in a book that we don't belong in? Third issue. The whole first section of davening on the high holidays is this whole tefillah after tefillah, uvechein, uvechein, uvechein. It begins, uvechein teipachtach, Hashem elokeinu kol masecha, Hashem, place your trembling upon all of your creations. Ve'maschal kol mashabrosa, and your terror, your fear, your awe upon everything you created. Meaning, what we're asking for is, Hashem, give us fear and awe of heaven. That's nice. Chazal explicitly say, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyir shamayim. Everything is in God's hands except for the fear of heaven. You got to go do it and work on it yourself. So that's the first thing you ask for? The one thing that God doesn't control? It's almost humorous. It is so Jewish. Here's the one thing Hashem explicitly tells us. You got to go do the work. I can't give it to you. And it's the first and central thing that we daven for.
Not his department.
Go work on it yourself. I can't give it to you. That's not the conclusion we're going to reach. So now, so he says like this. You're all familiar with the Chazal. The Chazal tell us that Hashem says, you know what, Kindalach? I don't expect you to do the whole thing. You open for me a opening the size of the eye of a needle. Actually, it says kichudei shamacha, not the eye, but the point. It's much smaller than the eye. Right. And so open for me a opening the size of the point of the needle, and I will open for you a opening the size of a wedding hall. It's the language of it. It's a Gemara. Now, say the commentary, says Reb Chaim Friedlander. How do you open the hole? What's the process of opening? You open for me a Pesach, pischuli Pesach ke pischu shel machat. You open for me something like the size of a needle. Says, the opening is, ask me for it. The opening is, ask me for it. That's all I'm asking you. Meaning, yes, everything is in heaven's hands, except for the fear of heaven. That's in your hands. How do you get it?
In your hands to ask.
How do you get it? It's in your hands to ask me for it. Meaning, everything else I'll give to you. You don't have to ask me for a blanket at night. I'll give that to you. But for your Shemayim, if you want it, you're going to have to ask me for it. So,
isn't that it? Pretty much with everything that we daven for Hashem, if you don't ask for it, you're never going to get it.
No, he's saying it is particularly so with our relationship with Him, with the entry level, with starting the process called Yerushalayim. That's the smallest hole. The smallest opening is, by golly, come and talk to me. Start the relationship. How do you start the relationship? Saying, Benjamin, I'd like to get to know you. Now,
he's very busy.
Let's go deep. Let's go deep, deep. The Gemara tells us as follows. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, commentary on the Pasuk in Devarim, chapter 5. Hashem says, "Mi yitin, halavai, halavai, if only." Halavai, they would fear me this way all of their years. What is it talking about? Says the Gemara. Where did Hashem exclaim this? After Klal Yisrael attained by Maimed Har Sinai, by the giving of the Torah, this highest level of God awareness.
Is that a word?
To the point where what? Their fear and trembling was to such a degree where they approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, stop this. We are going to expire. We can't handle it. The fear was too great. So Hashem says, oh, yeah, halavai, they would always be at this point. Halavai, that's where my kindleach would always be, at this level of fear. To the degree where Hashem says to Moshe, give them what they want. I'm going to stop. I'll talk to you. And you deliver the dibris to them, right? We only heard the first two from God, and everything else was taught to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you're a bunch of ingrates. For this request, where you said, hey, Tiva, Shadiberu, where you said, let you speak to us, not Hashem, you're Kifuye Taiva. When Hashem said to you, halavai, they would always have this level of God-fearedness, you should have said, oh, Amen, Rebbeinu, let me give it to us. He didn't say anything. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint? So he makes a psychological observation which is really downright scary. He says, what's at the essence of a kafui toiva? Of somebody who's an ingrate. Somebody does you a favor. And you refuse to acknowledge it. What's at the source? What's at the core? At the core is, I don't want to owe anybody anything. That's at the source of a kufri toiva. An ingrate says, I deserved it. I had it coming to me. That person owed me. I don't want to owe anybody nothing. Nobody nothing. That's at the root of a kufri toiva. When Hashem turns to Adam Arishan and says, why'd you eat of the fruit? Adam Arishan says, it was her. You see, God, I owe you nothing for giving me Chava. Look what she caused me to do. It was a technique to get out of owing God. That's at the source and at the root of every kafui toiva, of every ingrate. If the greatest thing in the world is to be able to be a Yirei Shamayim, someone who fears heaven, and Hashem said, halavai, they would always be fears of heaven, and Klal Yisrael could have said, please God, give it to us. And then we would have been given it, and we would have owed him everything forever. Sorry, God. We as humans don't want to owe you anything. We want to walk around imagining, like, you know, it's the great story that I love with the scientists at Yale. Let's pick on Harvard. Who came up with this? So we can create life. You know, now they've finally developed the ability to make clones. So we could do the whole thing from scratch. We could create a human. So God says, oh, really? Go ahead and do it. So the scientist bends down outside and starts gathering dirt. And what God says, oh, go get your own dirt. What are you using my dirt? There's a concept you're supposed to share a milsa de biduchas, humorous thought before you start something serious. Rabbi Senior tells the story of the guy who developed the first human clone. Brilliant scientist. So he decided, if anybody, he should make a copy of himself. Succeeds. Brilliant. Works with him in the lab. It's a dream. They're working together. And then this guy, his clone, was even more arrogant than he was and began using horrible foul language and insulting him and just degrading him publicly and used all kinds of obscenities, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he took the guy up to the roof and pushed him off. It was the first recorded case of an obscene clone fall. Anyway, so humanity does not want to owe anybody anything.
Does that come from pride?
Clearly, who?
Is that part of pride?
I don't know, it goes back to the... My father, when he spoke about it once, talked about it comes from our being created in the image of God, and that the independent streak of not wanting to own anything is part of, I can do it all myself. Well, you see it in the smallest, youngest of children. You try helping them with something. No, I can do it myself. I'm not mentioning it. In one-year-old children. No, don't help me get dressed. I can do it myself.
We do it.
Yeah.
Do so.
A line. Now, what's fascinating is that Chazal tell us that this Musar that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael, he balls them out, calling them ingrates, was 40 years after the event. 40 years later, he balled them out about it. What took 40 years? So he explains. Right, Hashem makes this explanation, right? Halavai, they would always have this Yerushimayim. No amen. No, please, God, right? 40 years later, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you're a bunch of ingrates. See, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't chop until 40 years later. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself had the Yiras Shemayim. Hashem wasn't wishing that on Moshe. Moshe had the God-fearingness. He didn't realize until 40 years later the psychological insight of why they didn't do it. That's what took 40 years. The 40 years took for him to realize that the reason they didn't ask for it was because they didn't want to owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That observation he came to after 40 years.
Isn't that some sort of a type scenario over there?
Why?
We will do.
We will do.
Yeah.
We will do. Precisely the point.
Okay.
Now.
Then we will hear.
Here he says something that we hear from our wives all the time. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you know, guys, whenever you guys really want something, you make it happen. When you really want, right, how many times have we heard this? When you really want something, you figure out how to do it. He says there's a velt statement that people say in Yiddish, anar tzizana zachen toige. Even the fool, when it comes to his stuff, he figures out clever ways to attain what his desires are. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling to Klal Yisrael that if Yiras Shemayim was of value to you, then you would have figured out a way to get around all the impediments and figure out how to attain it. So let's go back. What we see from here, though, the lesson he's trying to derive from all this that we're talking about is that it is possible to ask for Yiras Shemayim, and that Moshe Rabbeinu had a fundamental claim to Klal Yisrael about the fact that they didn't ask for Yiras Shemayim. So going back to the original question is, what's the point of asking Hashem to consider us as if we're tzaddikim. When are we playing house with God? Rabbeinu Shlomo, let's play house. This year, let me be the tzaddik. Right? This isn't some role-playing thing. And how do we pray for something which is in our hands? So let's introduce the concept, and then on Monday we'll go into it deeper. Tefillah. Here's the watershed moment. Tefillah, true tefillah, is the revelation and the expression of our deepest yearning and hopes. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the revelation and the expression of the she'ifos that are in our deepest, the deepest recesses of our being, that have the ability to truly change who we are. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is, you know, they used to say a joke about people got dressed up on Purim, and people would dress up as what they really, really wanted to be. Tefillah is a moment where we reveal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we really want. You got to think about it for a second. Imagine if Hashem gave us a 2-minute window and said, go ahead, ask for whatever you really want and it will be granted. You ever think about what would happen if that happened? I think it's a great question to ponder, bring up at a Shabbos table. Imagine if the genie, God forbid, came out of the lantern and granted us the 3 wishes. What would we ask for? I think it is such an intimidating, overwhelming question of what it is that we would request.
You ask for infinite wishes. And then you're set. And you can think about what it won't
happen. So we can think about it later.
Always somebody wants to game the system.
What?
Always somebody wants to game the system.
And then the genie said, anything but that.
So, tefillah, true tefillah, is the expression and the revelation of what really is at the core of our hopes and dreams. Where do you see this? Important words, okay? Nefesh. We normally translate nefesh as soul, right? Yet we have another word for soul, which is
neshama,
right? The pasuk says, and the prophet Shmuel says, and we use this in Tehillim many times. I'm not sure why he grabs this one in Shmuel. Ve'eshpeich es nafshi lefnei Hashem. We use it even in English. I pour out my
heart, soul.
I pour out my soul, right? My heart and soul. But the Navi uses that. I pour out my nefesh before Hashem. That is to say, he says that he brings us from Rav Dessler, and the one who kind of illustrated this is this pasuk about Chana, Shmuel Navi's mother, right? She was barren, and she said, "Ve'eshpech es nafshi, I poured out my nefesh." She didn't say I davened to Hashem, but she used this word. I was able to express my essential soul. Okay, what was that soul request? She wanted to be blessed with children. So what Rav Dessler points out here is that the pinnacle of tefillah is to come to a point where we get in touch with what the ikar essence of our being is, so that we can make that request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot of fluff. There's all kinds of things in this stuff, and there's all kinds of zeroing in on nafshi. What is my ve'eshpech es nafshi? To be able to pour out my soul. Why is that the term? If it's used for soul, so why is it used for tefillah? So he says very simple. The difference between the... We need to understand the terminology of nafsh. And again, we have to use another Hebrew word, which is ratzon. Are you familiar with ratzon? Ratzon is will, desire, right? The Avraham Avinu, we learned this together, when he wanted to get to acquire the Maris HaMachpelah, right, the caves from Bnei Ches, he says, "Im yesh es nafshechem likvar es meis milvone." If you have it within your desire, your soul, to allow me to bury his sorrow. The nefesh, again, these are terminology we see all the time. A nefesh toiva is a good desire. A nefesh ra is a wicked, an evil desire. Most of us are, whichever emotion you want to do it, we are wishy-washy. We go back between good stuff, bad stuff, yitzhahori, yitzhatoiv, and we're not stable. Right? We're up and down. Yes. The pasuk of Vayikra, when it talks about karbanos, it says nefesh kisech debishkargo, when a soul will sin. Because if we want to trace everything back to its root, it all starts with a ratzon. It all starts, everything we do starts with a desire. We don't do anything without first having, that's the whole brilliance of the advertising industry, is to get you to pay attention to the iPhone 7 so that you're going to want it so that you'll go buy it, right?
Wait until you get the...
There's a nefesh that cries out to us to, says, as we discussed before, that image of God that claims our independence, wants to throw off the shackles. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. There's always a component within us that says, don't shackle me. I want to be my own person. I want to be my own balabas. Don't tell me what to do. And Rahman al-Itzlan, we say it all too often to the master of the world. Stop meddling in my business. Let me do what I want to do. And my father attached that was man being created in God's image has that streak of independence. And it gets us into trouble, really, all too often. What the goal is to get our nefesh in sync with the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what these 10 days are going to be geared to, is called in the Hashgafa of Yiddishkeit, the days of realignment. We're all going in for an alignment of having, they always have these things, but first time I went in for a tire rotation, my tires are rotating all the time. What are you rotating my tires for? I could, every time I step on the gas, they're rotating. Right.
What was that?
Calibration. Right. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the nefesh coming in line with the heavenly design for our nefesh. There's a synergy, there's an alignment, there's a synchronization that we're looking for, of synchronizing our ratzon with the ratzon Hashem.
So